sag on his cheeks. In their cramped home, there was no way for Joe to step back. The shack's wood-paneled walls warped inwards like a closing hand, pressing father and his 16-year-old son together. The ceiling was low and made of sheet metal, which grew so hot in the daytime that if Joe stood up straight, it burned a welt across his scalp. A light bulb hung down between Joe and David, dangling on a long wire, but there was no electricity. The only illumination came from the moon shining through a square hole where there once was a window. The warm night rolled in through the hole as well, carrying with it the thick smell of rot. On the far wall, there was a stove that didn't heat and a faucet without water. Three lumpy mattresses were laid over the splintered floor, with threads stretched and broken across them. Joe's grandfather, also called Joseph, had been asleep on one of the mattresses. He was stirring now, disturbed by Joe's raised voice. Granddad was skeletally thin, apart from a bloated little stomach, like all the people of the town. Between Granddad and the wall, a line of cloth sacks were filled to bursting and tied at the top. A stringless acoustic guitar was slumped next to the sacks in the corner. A snapped plastic guard across the guitar's surface displayed an illustration of a species of bird that Joe had never seen, and probably never would. Joe had been pushing his father for an explanation of how they had ended up living in a ramshackle town, scavenging waste to survive. David told him the same he always did. Everyone had known the world was getting warmer. There were news reports on the risk of shortages and economic collapse, but life in the city of Madeira had gone on the same. David was one of the many who ignored the signs, carrying on as if things would somehow return to normal in the future. Despite concerns from Granddad and Joe's mother, still living then, he convinced both they should stay. Even as fuel reserves ran low and options for travel became scarce, still, he stalled. Soon, food supplies dwindled in Madeira and costs surged. Eventually, there was nothing left in the shops. It was only then that David finally took action, when it was too late to properly search for a new place to live. He lifted Joe in his arms, and their family walked out of the city with thousands of others who'd let everything slip away. From there, they'd walked for miles, till they found this place that once used to dispose of the city's waste. It was a fitting place for them to end up.
"It's just difficult knowing how life was in the city before everything," Joe said,
reluctantly trying to take the sting out of his previous words. David nodded. He looked as sad and broken as the guitar in the corner.
"I could tell you a story about the city," Granddad murmured, sitting up on his mattress and scratching sleepily at his beard.
Everyone called Madeira the city now, as if it was the only one that had ever existed.
"About what it is and how it came to be."
Joe crouched down, looking into his grandfather's roomy eyes.
"Another time, Granddad. Sorry I woke you."
Granddad relaxed down again, then spoke muffled on his side.
"You raised your voice before. Don't forget the tale of the man who shouted often and the man who whispered only once."
"I won't," Joe said. "I remember all your stories, and I remember which man the people listened to."
Granddad murmured assent, closing his eyes. Joe and David waited as the old man drifted back to sleep, the only sound his wheezing breath. Once his grandfather was asleep, Joe went to the shack's window hole. Part of him still wanted to rage and yell and get his anger out. He knew it wouldn't really help, especially since his father never argued.